You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
So talk to us. You come back from Vietnam, and now you're managing the bar, I guess, in Detroit, or was it before you left? Because your mother's needing help, right? And so you have a bar and a restaurant. And tell us about the bar.
Yeah, what happened when I returned home? It was December of 72. Mm-hmm. My dad had suffered two heart attacks while I was away in the just under 2 years in Vietnam. I never knew about it. He never wrote me a letter. I never got any. My mother did on a regular basis. So when I got back home, my mom, my neighbor, Rico, picked me up at the airport, said, "Your dad's sick. He needs your help." When I got there, he was trying to hold on running this all-black bar. It's an all-black clientele. It's a factory bar. It's gone now.
What's a factory bar? What does that mean?
Dodge Main Chrysler Corporation.
Okay.
Right there in Detroit in Hamtramck. Right. The bar was right there across the street from Dodge Main.
At that time, Detroit was happening.
Oh, yeah.
Versus today, it's not, but it was like happening.
And all these guys, the factory workers at noontime would rush over to the bar, and they would just straight shots of whiskey, beer chasers. They wanted to get drunk to go back to that.
To work on our cars.
That's why Dodge Main bellied up. I mean, it was a bad scene for them, bad scene. Mm-hmm. So my dad, he was sick. Show me how to operate the bar. Mm-hmm. My brother Rick was in Malaysia in Kuala Lumpur in the Peace Corps at the time.
What were you thinking? I mean, all of a sudden, the family business for you is a bar. I mean, it's just like something you're comprehending? Is that
well, you know,
sense to you?
I was thrust out of a war zone
into
another kind of war zone. Racism at that time, you know, racial riots, I
72.
It was all right there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Detroit, Michigan, out of all the cities in the United States, had the worst racial riots of any major city in the United States in 1968 when they burned half the city down.
That's right.
And I was there. I witnessed all that.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, and of course, being raised Sicilian-Italian, embedded in me was this thing that somehow Sicilians are better than everybody else, even other white people. I mean, you're raised in an atmosphere like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But I questioned all that in Vietnam.
Right.
Yeah, the world was disturbing my heart.
Let's go back. I want to go back to that. Keep going where you're going, but I want to go back to what you saw in Vietnam after this.
So. Yeah, the racism over there was, you know, you had black GIs and white GIs at each other. I mean, where I was at, I'm sure in a combat situation, they had to cooperate.
Were they treated equally by the leaders?
It depends.
Does the duty station depend on?
And again, you know, back then you had many of the blacks, there was militant black groups going on.
Right.
Not
Panthers?
So much following Martin Luther King Jr., but more Malcolm X. Malcolm X. Mm-hmm. So you had this racial divide, and a lot of, you know, white people that, you know, carried their own hate and baggage with them, like me.
So it was a heart of America going to fight a war.
I think what happened was the tension, racial tension back home in the States was affecting the soldiers over there in Vietnam as well.
We all segregated?
No, you had to work together, obviously, in the military.
Good.
But the thing about it was, you know, on top of the black-white issue, you had the hatred for Vietnamese, you know, dehumanizing somebody so you could kill them better, the Viet Cong, that is. You dehumanize them, you call them gooks, you know, you get a label, and you dehumanize your enemy.
Right.
And it's a horrible thing that takes place. And all that was stirring in my mind, questioning everything I was taught to believe. So when I got back home, my dad dies a month after I get back home. Show me enough time how to operate the bar. My brother Rick flies home. He's a college graduate. Mm-hmm. He flies home from the Peace Corps. And the two of us make a commitment to help my mother till we could get rid of the bar, till we could sell it or find a way.
Right.
So for about 9 months, Rick and I operated, two white guys, operated in predominantly all-black bar in the city of Detroit in 1973, if you can picture that.
That was the year Roe versus Wade was pushed by the Supreme Courts, too.
Oh,
yeah.
And I had some friends that would come that were brave enough to come with me.
Right.
But, you know, I was walking on the wild side during those 9 months, drinking heavy at the bar. You know, I won't go into all the other stuff, but my brother Rick realized, you know, we need to get rid of this place. You need to get out of the city.
Right.
I was being pulled back into the lifestyle prior to my military time. And that's, but you know, there was a guy, there were two times life-threatening situations where I could have been killed over pulling out a gun. yeah. gunfight, knife fight in the bar, and so forth and so on. I won't get into that, but two times I could have been killed.
I want to hear about the knife fight at the bar. Come on. Oh, my goodness.
It was on a, you know, we kept the bar open on Friday and Saturday to 2 mm-hmm. o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so these two guys, black guys, were fighting over this hooker. We mm-hmm. had prostitutes right. running through. One guy went next door, bought a knife mm-hmm. next door at one of the general store, you know. He comes back with a knife, sneaks up on the other guy that was he was fighting with earlier, mm-hmm. and knifes him knifing him in the throat.
Oh my God!
The guy fell over the table, mm-hmm. crashed over there, blood gushing out of his throat, people screaming, mm-hmm. running out of the bar. I'm angry, right. anger about being there, anger about my life, right. anger about where I was at. I take the gun, an unregistered gun that my father had, hopped over the bar, mm-hmm. and said some words that I won't repeat, mm-hmm. and held the gun. I said, "I'm going to shoot you, man."
Right.
And right at that point, a guy, a foreman at the plant, at the Dodge main plant, a black guy, mm-hmm. Older guy, probably, I would imagine he was probably near 50, mm-hmm. named Frank Jacobs. Frank gently put his hand on my wrist and said, "Ronnie, let him go, son. Don't shoot him."
Wow.
Frank knew I'd be in more trouble.
Wow.
And I let the guy go. Yeah. And there was another time that happened with another guy that I had pulled the gun out because mm-hmm. of something happened with a barmaid. And, mm-hmm. and he says, "I'm going to kill you, man." And I remember I was going to a store to buy some glasses. Mm-hmm. Glasses got broken all the time because of fights and everything that would break out. And so I had my hands, I was getting out, I pulled in the alleyway behind the bar. I had my hands on the box of glass. My mm-hmm. gun was in my back. Uh-huh. You know, in the belt behind my back, and my hands were occupied. So I'm getting out, walking mm-hmm. into the back door of the bar, and there's the guy that threatened to kill me, leaning against the wall with two other guys. And I said, "I'm dead.
Right.
Even if I drop these glasses, I won't have time to grab the gun
right.
and defend myself." So I just go to the door, I'm knocking at the door, thinking I'm a dead man.
Right.
But the guy never moved.
Oof.
He never moved. He had a perfect opportunity.
Wow.
Right there. No one would have known. You know, and then come to find out about a few days later that the reason that guy didn't move was that same foreman, the foreman at the plant.
Right. The one that grabbed your hand and said, "Don't."
The one
don't.
That was there. He told my dad, "I'm going to look out after Ronnie."
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is ironic because of my dad's feeling about racial issues. But this guy was a friend
mm-hmm.
and Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank had put the word out to that guy, "If you touch Ronnie, I'm going to kill you.
A guardian angel.
You leave him alone."
Wow.
And I believe that the Lord had put that guy there because God knew the plans he had down the road for me. And I believe the Lord spared me in Vietnam. He spared my life mm-hmm. to put me in a hospital in Saigon. He spared my life at that bar in my early 20s to protect me for what the Lord, I didn't know it then.
Right.
I know it now.
Yeah, you know it now. That was when he's like, "It's time to leave Detroit probably and go to Key Largo." What's Key Largo, Florida?
So Key West.
Key West, Florida. Yeah. So it's time to go from Detroit to Key West, Florida.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.